This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. Today we are calling America to pray concerning the abortion issue in America. And it's not going to go away, and we're not going to let it go away because we're praying. And it's good to have here on the broadcast today Rhonda Kinzer, along with her husband Delvin, our associate pastors at Abundant Life Fellowship and Liberal. And Rhonda has an incredible testimony concerning God's grace and forgiveness concerning the abortion that she shares openly now. They have served with Senior Pastor Ollie Kinzer for the past 16 years. Rhonda has a master's degree in counseling psychology from Oklahoma City University. Formerly served as a counselor and retention specialist for Ford Seward County Community College in Liberal, Kansas, where it's really been cold there. And she was raised in a pastor's home. Her life was turned upside down when her parents divorced. At 15, she was pregnant, faced with a choice. Her decision to abort the child would impact her life for years to come. But God's grace is greater than all of our sins, she declares. Jesus has taken away the guilt and shame of that decision. It is now using it to bring healing to women and their families touched by abortion. So, Rhonda, welcome to the Thursday Watch here on BPN Radio.
Well, thank you for having me. I am just so privileged to be a part of BPN Radio.
Well, we're delighted to have you and your husband, Delvin. You guys have become familiar voices here. Delvin, of course, is our news director, and his voice is heard many times during the day. But you guys also are hosting every weekday live on BPN Radio, 4 o'clock each evening, and then at 9 o'clock each evening, the Isaiah 60 Watch. And you guys have been on BPN Radio now for almost a year. Why do you call it the Isaiah 60 Watch?
We call it the Isaiah 60 Watch because we feel like the Lord has called us to bring people out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so just like with my own personal experience of everything that I went through emotionally after I had my abortion, you know, I stayed in darkness for a long time. I didn't want anyone to know about that. I was full of shame and guilt. And so, you know, depending on whatever circumstance or situation people might find themselves in that would cause them to want to hide and be ashamed, the Lord says in Isaiah 60, I am going to come upon you. I'm going to arise upon you, and I'm going to shine through you. And so that's why we call it Isaiah 60, because we feel like that our God is a delivering God and that He wants to shine into every area of your life and set you free.
Well, I certainly believe that. And, you want to share a little bit of your testimony? I know that you have shared it here on BPN Radio before, but, you know, we just want to shine the light, as you have said in concerning your program, we want to shine the light on what's happening in America. And once again, we know that Planned Parenthood and the abortion issue is still at the forefront of what is happening here in America. In fact, I have I've discovered today, and you probably already have this, but I discovered today the monitor that people can go to and watch actual count of abortions that are taking place in America. And you probably saw this, Rhonda, but I am when I look at this number of abortion, the abortion counter that goes on 24 hours a day, I'm looking at that, And it says today in the United States, 1,262 abortions have already taken place in America. 1,262 since midnight last night. Since 1973 in America, 59,708,910. And I'm looking at this counter, and now another one just got aborted, 911. Just as I started talking to you, there's been another abortion taking place. Planned Parenthood, who is contesting defunding, they have since 1970 they have had 7,619,000. They performed 7,619,491 abortions this year. Planned Parenthood has already performed 10,140 abortions. And already in America this year, 34,000. I mean, we're just starting the year. Already 34,121 abortions have taken place. And those numbers are real numbers, and they're staggering. When you look at the worldwide abortion count, there's been 1,441,441,000. And I know that those numbers seem astronomical to so many, many people, but it's a real issue that we're dealing with, right?
Yes, it is. And, you know, our Congress, the 115th Congress, is just getting started. And, you know, there's a representative, Diana Black, from Tennessee, and she is trying to push through the bill again to cancel out funding from Title X to Planned Parenthood, especially. I know people know this, but Planned Parenthood is the biggest abortion corporation, nonprofit organization that receives over $500,000 every year from taxpayers, from you and me. And so, you know, there's a political aspect to this that, you know, through politics, laws and bills can be passed to help stay abortion. And then there's the church's involvement, and for me personally, it's a private personal involvement. And so, you know, we look at the numbers of 1 billion babies that have been aborted, and I'm just one person out of 1 billion people. And we know that several women have had more than one abortion. I've come across women who've had 4 and 5 abortions. And so, to me, I don't know, I've never really been very political about what God has asked me to do. Although I do keep up with what's happening in politics, what's happening at the state level and the federal level, you know, I guess I'm a proponent of God has to change each individual's heart. You know, you hear the old catchphrase, you can't legislate morality. And I believe that. I don't think you can. I think what God wants to do is change the heart of a people so that people themselves would realize, I can't murder my baby. Whether a law tells me that I can or can't, it has to be a personal decision. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And what made you decide that you were gonna come out and begin to share your testimony of your experience with abortion and begin to minister to women that had gone through an abortion or were contemplating? What made you make that decision?
I was wanting, my husband and I had been praying, for about a year in 2015, and we had been asking the Lord to use us in a special way. We are associate pastors at our church. My husband is, a news director at a Christian radio station. Like you said, I had served as, at our local community college for 13 years in different positions and in counseling positions. But I felt like the Lord was speaking to my heart about personally doing something to minister to people. And so as we prayed on that for over a year, what the Lord said to me was, Rhonda, what I really want from you is I want you to be willing to share your personal testimony of how I set you free and delivered you from the shame and guilt of abortion. And so as the Lord began to talk to me about that, the Lord began to open up doors for me to actually do that to be able to share with people publicly what God had done for me. Because up to that time, which is last year in 2015, I would share my testimony privately in my office in a counseling situation whenever I felt like the Lord told me to share that with an individual that was maybe going through some things that would lead them to an abortion. But I'd never publicly shared that publicly. And the Lord had brought me to a place where I could talk about it. A lot of women, I don't think, maybe are at that place. They are still encumbered with the guilt and the shame, and they don't want anyone to know. A lot of women that I've talked to over the years, they've never even told their husband, and they could have been married for 25 years, mm-hmm. and they could have had an abortion before they ever got married. So there is a great stigma, not only in the secular world, but even in the church world especially. You could go into a congregation of 500 people, and there might be 125 women that have an abortion, but no one would ever know. And so I just felt like the Lord said, I want to bring healing to women, to my daughters, mm-hmm. In the body of Christ. I want to bring healing to them. I want to take away the shame and the stigma. So the Lord just gave me a platform, and I've just been willing to stand on it.
Well, I really appreciate your courage to come out and begin to share your testimony, your story, which I'm sure, Rhonda, had to be very difficult since you were, you were a counselor and retention specialists at Seward County Community College, and you were well known. And to come out with your story and go public, I know it had to take lots of courage. And what was the response of your colleagues and students and others around you when you began to share openly about the abortion you had had? What was their response?
I was very pleasantly surprised that I got a lot of encouragement, and I got a lot of thank you for sharing. I even got emails from people that that were principals at our local schools that had been principals to our own kids. Different people in the community would email me because one of the things the Lord did was that He literally opened the door for me to share my testimony in our local newspaper. And so when that went out, because even just going and talking in churches and things like that, it was still kind of private because I was just talking to other believers. And then all of a sudden the Lord's like, no, I want everybody to know. And so believers and non-believers. And so He opened that door for us, and we were interviewed by our local newspaper. And when that went out, I got even more emails from people just saying, thank you for being willing to take a stand. Thank you for being. And one of the emails I got said, we all have secret sins, or we all have things that we want to keep in the closet. And he said to me, thank you so much for coming out of the closet and bringing out the truth of what God can do to set people free. And so I think that's the thing. I think that's the dilemma, Dale, is knowing in your heart the power of God and what He did to so set me free. How can I keep that to myself when I know that there are others that are still sitting in bondage and the enemy is using that against them? And so I think sometimes people weigh the cost of personal, what will people think of me? And the Lord removes that out of the way. And He says, I want you to tell people what I think of you. Because see, God loves us and He forgives us. And then He sets us free. And there are so many women, I believe, that are still in bondage. And not just women, but men who participated in an abortion that... We're coming into 2017, and this is a year of victory. This is a year of triumph, and I think this is one of the main pinnacles that God is going to set people free and that the enemy has held them captive for all these years. I think this is going to be a great and glorious year for people who are pro-life and people who are willing to take a stand and say, you know, God can change your life and transform you from anything that you've done.
Well, I believe that. I really appreciate your courage. There's no telling how many women that you have been able to minister to, particularly the past year. I know on BPN Radio, took a lot of courage, and I'm quite surprised that more pastors and church leaders are not talking about this issue. And some pastors have responded by saying, well, we don't want to talk about abortion in our church because we don't want these women to feel guilty. What say you?
They already feel guilty.
Yeah.
I think that's just a lie from the enemy that we believe because we don't want to offend somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is anything that you keep a secret and you don't expose, then the enemy continues then to barrage those people with guilt and with shame, which then leads to depression and anxiety. And there are a lot of women who contemplate suicide. And so it's like the enemy can keep them in bondage because no one is willing to talk about the fact that there is an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key I would say to pastors of churches. There is an answer. We held a conference here last November in not even our own church. We went to a local Baptist church here in town because their facility was bigger, asked them if we can use their church to hold this conference. And when it was over, the man who was there to run the sound system from the church and the pastor himself who were there helping us with all these women to train and teach people how to minister to women who've had an abortion, these two men came out to me and said, I had no idea what the impact of abortion that it had on women. But as they were sitting through the day and a half training, it was like the Holy Spirit just opened their eyes to what's happening and what women are dealing with. And so, I don't know. I think God wants to expose anything that would keep someone in bondage.
I agree.
Maybe Dale, I don't know. Maybe they don't truly believe that God... Maybe they've not seen the transforming work and power of God to set someone free from such a sin that a lot of people think is an impartable sin, unpardonable. You know, that's mm-hmm. the worst. When you murder someone, especially an innocent child, there's no coming back from that. And maybe they don't understand the redemptive, full redemptive work to not only forgive you, but to literally be able to take away all the shame from that. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that transformed my life, Dale. Is that it wasn't just that God forgave me of that sin when I confessed it, but then he brought me to a point where he said, Rhonda, I'm going to take away all the shame so that when you talk about it, you don't have to be ashamed.
I agree. So how long did you suffer from the effects of what happened in your life when you were 15 years old? How long did that go on, and what were the effects of that decision?
Immediately following the abortion, I would say for about a year, I was dealing with just the thoughts and the emotions of what I had done. But then I kind of just buried that. I shoved that down because I didn't want to have to think about it. I didn't want to have to own that. And so mm-hmm. I buried that with drugs and with alcohol and just anything I could so I wouldn't have to think about that. But then when I gave my heart back to the Lord whenever I was 19... The Holy Spirit really began to deal with me about that because he wanted me to be free from that. And so even when I gave my heart to the Lord and I asked the Lord to forgive me, I knew he had forgiven me that day from from my abortion. But it was 6 years later before I literally experienced the forgiveness that I could forgive myself. So I think it's one thing, too, that... Once I became a Christian, I think the stress of all of that became more real than whenever I wasn't saved. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to explain that.
Yeah.
I think it was just that the Holy Spirit was wanting to do a work in me to truly set me free in every area of my life. And even then, I kept resisting it. I kept pushing it back and pushing it down and acting as if though I didn't need what the Lord was offering me. I think I was still just dealing with the shame of it all. Mm-hmm. So, goodness gracious. Well, I would say I'm 47 years old now, so I would say a good 30 years.
Well, you have an amazing story, and I'm sure that your story could be retold many, many times over by other people, and I'm so thankful that you're telling your story. It's good to have Rhonda Kinzer on with me today. And Rhonda and her husband, host the Isaiah 60 Watch every weekday, 4 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time, here on BPN Radio, and they talk, they pray with people about coming out of darkness. And but one of their main subject, of course, is abortion, because it's become a national tragedy. It's become genocide in America, and you know, it's not going to go away. And Rhonda, already since we started talking, I'm looking at the abortion counter, and you know, people can go to this by just going to usabortionclock.org. And already there have been, since we started talking, 13 abortions in America since we started on the air this morning, just a few minutes ago, 23 minutes ago. There's been 14 abortions in 23 minutes in America, which is a national tragedy. And you're telling your story. Gene and I have a friend, and she told her story in a song, and I want to play this song, and then we're going to come back and talk some more and pray. But her name is Carly Curly Kraft, and she told her story in a song. So I want to play this, and then we'll be right back with Rhonda Kinzer.
That he loved her, said he'd always be there. So she gave in and went where she had never dared. Everybody makes mistakes, the doctor reassured. Nobody has to know, the choice is yours. All the years come and gone, she's still searching for that love. And every little child just reminds her of the choice that she made, the price of the trade. Will the haunting memory ever go away? Sometimes late at night, she can hear the voice she never heard, crying out for the love she never gave. Even though forgiven, there are times she can hardly stand the hurt from the scars that she bears to this day. Was the memory of a lesson she wished she never would have learned? It comes back every night in the voice she never heard.
It's a pretty sad song there, Rhonda. But Carly's telling some lady's story of what happened with her, and I'm sure that story could be repeated many times over. Right? So many people are hurting today.
Yeah. As a counselor, you can go to counseling. You can ask the Lord to forgive you over and over. But I'm telling you, it is only by the miraculous, wonder-working power of the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that someone can truly be set free from something that is so shameful. And even though the Lord had healed me and set me free when he asked me to go publicly, there was still just this little part of me that wanted to just resist. Because in our society, women don't talk about abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Who talks about abortion is legislators and Planned Parenthood and, mm-hmm. you know, clinics you can go into, and they're going to give you a brochure and tell you, you know, you don't have to have this baby. But women, Christian women, are not talking about abortion. And I think God wants us to be set free so that we can talk about it, so that we can help others understand that there is a cost, there is a consequence, there is a price that you pay that nobody tells you about. But I think as women of God, as we stand up and we begin to talk about how God has forgiven us and set us free, we can also then talk about all the other aspects of the abortion and everything that surrounds an abortion. So that doesn't have to be this, there's just no dialogue in the church for abortion. Right. And where else are you going to help women overcome that and prevent that if not in the church?
I agree. It's a major problem, and it's not being addressed very much. I'm so thankful that here on BPN Radio that you quite often, you and Delvin, talk about this issue and minister to people. I've been believing for a long time that you guys were going to be invited to churches, local churches, where you would go in and minister on this subject. But it may be, and I just have this in my spirit, that there will come a time that you guys will go into certain towns and cities and have a neutral location, and you'll promote it and have a one-day seminar and talk to people, pray with people, those that are contemplating having an abortion, or those that have gone through an abortion, or, you know, there's other family members that suffer, like you said, husbands, they also suffer as a result of their approval of their girlfriend or their wife having an abortion, and even parents, you know, blame themselves. So it's not just. And you can respond to this, but I don't believe it's just the person that has had the abortion. I believe there's other people that surround them that is also continuing to suffer or is on the verge of suffering.
You think about a funeral, think about a death, any death in a family, and you think about the waves that go out from that, who all is impacted by any death in a family. You know, if you just think of a natural death of cousins and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles, friends and coworkers, you know, when a woman has an abortion, it is a death. And so it does impact her sphere of influence from coworkers to parents to brothers. So there is an impact that goes out even when someone chooses to have an abortion. You know, it was amazing to me that the different churches in Southwest Kansas that opened their doors to me last year and asked me to come and share my testimony. I mean, I was speaking Sunday morning, Sunday night, on Wednesdays, sometimes every single week for a while. And because in different denominations opening their doors to have me come and speak. And Dale, there was never one service that I went to and spoke that God did not set women free. And not only did God set women free from the shame and guilt of their abortion, but God used my testimony to set other people free from other things that they were dealing with. One of the greatest testimonies from me sharing about how God healed me of my abortion was I had a Vietnam vet come up to me after the service on a Sunday morning, and he asked me if he could hug me. And I said, absolutely. And he had one arm missing because of the war. And so he put his arm around me and hugged me, and he began to weep. And he said, you know, Rhonda, while you were sharing your testimony about how God delivered you from guilt and shame from this horrific sin. He said, for the first time in my life, he said, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, today's the day that you're going to let go of the guilt and shame of the things that you did while you were in Vietnam. And he said, Rhonda, while you were speaking, the presence of the Lord came on me. And he said, I don't know how to describe what happened. He goes, but I feel no more guilt and no more shame. It's like the Lord just set me free from that. And it was something that he had struggled with for years. And I remember leaving that service and just thinking, how great is our God? Because I'm thinking, you know, the Lord is going to just minister to women, you know, who've had an abortion. But see, the Lord, when you talk about being set free, he can go into every realm. He can go into the drug addict realm. He can go into the homosexual realm. He can go into people who have suffered from post-traumatic stress from war. That's the thing I think, you know, I just want to encourage pastors to understand. There are people sitting in their church that are in bondage. They love the Lord. Dale, I loved the Lord with all of my heart when I got saved. I was so glad he had redeemed me and saved me from the life that I had been living. But I was sitting in church, and I remember it'd be Sunday after Sunday for years at different times when the pastor would call and have an altar call. And I remember going down and asking the Lord, I mean, I don't know how many times I asked the Lord, Lord, please forgive me for what I did. And he already had, but it was like there wasn't a healing, that the healing hadn't taken place. And so my pastor would have never known that. You know, how would he know that that's why I'm going down, you know, 30 times in a year, you know, to the altar at an altar call? Mm-hmm. There are people sitting in our pews that are in bondage, and they need to be told that they can be set free. You know, the scripture that comes to my mind is that we all have faults, and we should share our faults with one another. We should confess our sins to one another so that we can be set free. Well, if you don't ever give them opportunity to confess that sin to one another, how will they ever be free? Mm-hmm. It's like you need to deal with that on your own and keep that quiet. I think the Lord is going to take the lid off of that, off of it. He's just going to blow the lid off of it and say, we're going to have dialogue and we're going to set people free.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we need to be free. And I'm so thankful that you are a major proponent by sharing your testimony, sharing your story. Rhonda, the first time I ever listened to your testimony that you sent to me, I wept because of the anointing that was upon your testimony and how the Holy Spirit worked. And, you know, I want all of America to hear your testimony. I'm encouraging churches to have you come, communities, groups of churches, schools, you know, colleges. I just believe your story that needs to be told, needs to get out there in all sorts of different geographical locations to let people know that they are forgiven, that they are forgiven. And so many people, they have this difficult time. I know, you know, there's a lot of people know that God has forgiven them, but forgiving themselves, I would say, is a major issue, right?
That took me, Devin and I were married for 6 years, and we were not able to have children because I still had not realized that I had not forgiven myself for what I did. And out of all of the healing that took place for me, that was the hardest thing that I ever did, was when the Holy Spirit brought me to a point where I was on my knees in my bedroom, and he said to me, today's the day, Rhonda, that you need to forgive yourself. And he reminded me of how, whenever I was 19, that he forgave me. But he told me, Rhonda, you've never forgiven yourself. And I had never even had that thought before. I didn't even realize that that was something that needed to be done, and that that was what was holding me back. And so I thought, okay, Holy Spirit, you're right. Okay, I need to do this. But Dale, I mean, for 20 minutes, I tried to open my mouth and say that I forgave myself, and I could not do it. Mm-hmm. There was just this barrier in me that thought, as soon as I say that, it'll be as if though it was no big deal, and that, you know, that it was okay what I did. And so I remember crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, I know I need to forgive myself today, but I can't bring myself to physically say it out loud. God, help me. And in that moment, he gave me a vision of whenever I did have my abortion. And he showed me how I literally saw Jesus Christ walk into the abortion room where I was laying on the table. And I saw him come and stand at the head of the table, and he stretched out his arms, and he had this crimson red robe on, and he stretched that robe out over me. And I could see myself sitting up high in the corner of the room with God the Father, and God the Father leaned over to me and he said, Rhonda, this is how I see you. I do not see the sin. I see the blood of my son, Jesus Christ, and I need you to be willing to see yourself this way too, that you need to be willing to forgive yourself. And after I saw this vision, I mean, I just began to weep and weep because I thought God the Father, who is the judge of all people, was willing to forgive me.
Yeah.
Who am I to not forgive myself? And so I opened my mouth and I said the words, today is the day that I choose to forgive myself. And when I said that, Dale, the only way to describe it is the anointing. The power of God came on me and did something in me supernaturally that, I mean, something happened. And I don't know how to describe that in words, but I knew that I had been forgiven and I had been set free. And a month later, Dalvin and I were pregnant with our first child. I mean, the Lord had so set me free. In fact, I want to share this. So that was on a Sunday when the Lord allowed me to help me forgive myself. And the next day I got up like normal. I went to my job. And I was driving, I was traveling, working with foster kids, and I'm about an hour outside of Oklahoma City coming back home. And all of a sudden, the presence of God came into my car, and I felt the presence of God in my car and on me. And all of a sudden, I had this desire. It was like this overwhelming desire for the first time since I was 15. I had an overwhelming desire to have a baby. I mean, I wanted a baby so bad. And I mean, I remember driving home as fast as I could. And I opened the door and I looked at my husband and I'm like, I want to have a baby. And these are words that I know because Delvin and I had talked about this for the first 6 years of our marriage. I don't think he never thought I would ever say that. But see, when God sets you free, I mean, it changes everything.
Yes.
And so we wanted a baby. And so we went for 6 years with no children to we had two children in less than 2 years. And so that is the victory that God gives to us, is that not only does he do something supernaturally to cause us to be free, but then it just, the ripple effects, I mean, it just goes out from there and everything begins to change around you. Mm-hmm. And so God is great. And, yes. And I want to say this, you know, I've been reading a lot about the anointing and how God anoints different people to do different things. Like God anointed Peter to preach to the Jews, and there was a grace and anointing for that. God anointed Paul to preach to the Gentiles, and there was a grace and anointing that he could go and preach to Gentiles. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me yesterday, Rhonda, there is an anointing for you to preach and talk about abortion. This anointing isn't necessarily on every person, but there is a special anointing and there's a special grace that I have put up on you that you can go and share. And through this anointing, people are going to be set free. And I never thought about that there was a special anointing for that. But Dale, yesterday, the Lord just made that so clear to me. And I see the effects that Paul had on the Gentile world because God anointed him to do that. And so I just felt like the Lord said, Rhonda, I need you to believe that. And I can look back over last year and the different churches that I went to and how God set people free.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? It's the anointing.
Yes.
God is the one who sets
yes.
people free. He just needs someone to be willing to open their mouth
yes.
and start talking.
Right. Well, you certainly are anointed. And it's so good to have you on today. I'm visiting with the co-host of the Isaiah 60 Watch here on BPN Radio, Rhonda Kinzer, and I'm going to have Rhonda back in just a moment to pray for those of you that need prayer concerning contemplating an abortion or you've had an abortion. So we're calling America to pray for this people group. And as Rhonda said, it all began with forgiveness. So I'm going to invite our friend Carla Curly Craft and a young man by the name of Bruce. I can't remember his last name. And they're singing one of my favorite songs about forgiveness. And then She's going to come back and pray.
He says forgiven when you feel there's no way out. He says forgiven beyond the shadow of a doubt. It's never too late to begin. So when you think you're at the end, he says forgiven. No matter where you've been or where you're going, no matter how long you've been away, even though your heart may be broken, he hears every single prayer you pray. He says forgiven when you feel there's no way out. He says forgiven beyond the shadow of a doubt. It's never too late to begin. So when you think you're at the end, when you think you're at the end,
just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed forgiven.
Well, Rhonda, I believe that that's where it all starts, with forgiveness. I know that's what started you on your journey, and you asked God to forgive you, and then you forgave yourself. And that's amazing story, amazing journey that you've been on, and the way you're helping so many people. And I want you to share a little bit about how people can reach you. And also, first of all, you might just want to say a prayer for those who are seeking God's forgiveness and they feel like there's no way out, as the song said. And maybe they've not been able to forgive themselves. So I'm gonna play some prayer music and I'm going to let you pray.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today on this Thursday. And Father, I thank you for what you did for me. I thank you for forgiving me, and I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. I thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity to share, Lord, what you have done in me with other people. Lord, that you have given me the grace to be able to stand and to declare that, Lord, you are my deliverer. And Father, I just pray for those that are listening today that, Lord, that they have experienced an abortion. Lord, whether they were the woman who chose that or whether they were someone that was impacted by that choice. Father God, I lift them up to your throne room today, and I ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would minister healing to them today, that you would minister the truth of the blood of Jesus and how it covers every sin and how it sets us free. I pray, Lord, that right now that I just release the anointing of the Holy Spirit to flow into your life and to bring a deep work of healing in your life, that you would begin to, the Holy Spirit, you begin to show them the power of forgiveness, begin to show them the power of the blood. And so, Father God, I pray for those that today that found themselves in an unplanned pregnancy. Lord, that all the fears that come into a heart of a woman whenever they realize that they're pregnant and it wasn't something that they had prepared for. God, I pray for them today. And I pray, Lord, that, Lord, it was no accident that they were listening to this program today, but that, Lord, that you want to rescue them, Lord, from fear of the future. Lord, I just pray for peace to come upon them. And I pray, Lord, that they would hear your Holy Spirit and that, Lord, you would reach out to them now and that you would just comfort them and to help them to know that there is a future and there is a hope for them and for their baby. Father, I just give you glory and I give you praise. I thank you, Lord, for open doors to be able to share, Lord, the truth of how you want to set people free. And so, Lord, I pray this year would be a year all across America, Lord, that churches would be willing to open the doors of their hearts to hear the testimonies of women who have been delivered and set free from abortion so that others could be set free. Lord, let this be a great year of victory and triumph for those who've had abortions, that, Lord, that you can set them free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, Rhonda, we have a couple of minutes here before I pray for a couple of other needs. But how can people get in touch with you if they want to? I know that you have left your position there at the college, and you are available to travel, lead seminars, minister in churches. How can people reach you? How can they contact you?
They can email me at Rhonda, and that's with an H, so Rhonda. Kinser, Kinser, at iCloud.com. And so you can email me and I will get back with you within a 24-hour period. We also have a Facebook page for our ministry called Rochelle's Place. If you just type in the search engine of Facebook for Rochelle, Rochelle's Place, Rochelle's Place, mm-hmm. You can see us out there on Facebook as well.
Okay. Next time you're on, we'll talk about Rochelle and the ministry that you have there. You guys are doing a great work, and delighted to have you on BPN Radio. I love listening to your programs and the anointing, and you guys are fantastic. We're blessed to have you on BPN Radio, and I trust that people will email you, get in touch, go to your Facebook page, and thank you for being on today, Rhonda.
Thank you, Brother Dale. Love you.
Oh, we love you too. Okay. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax-deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.